Namaha, Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam, Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Tadati Swapadantikam, Vandeham Shigro, Shiyuta, Parakamalam, Shigram Vaishnavamscha, Shirupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Svitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashubhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaiti Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3, Chapter 11, Calculation of Time from the Atom. What's the text on the board? 29. Tam eva anu api diyante loka bhu araya traya nishayam anurita tayam nimukta shasi paskaram Tam evan vapi diyante Loka bura dayastraya Nishaya manu vritayam Nirmukta shashi bhaskaram Tam evan vapi diyante Loka buradayastraya Nishaya manuvritayam Nirmukta shashi bhaskaram Tameva apil diante Loka burada yastraya Shidayam Shashi Bhaskaram Tameva vapi diante Loka burada yastraya Shayam anuvritayam Nirmukta shashi bhaskaram Tameva vapi vriyante Loka burada yastraya Nishayam anuvritayam Nirmukta shashi bhaskaram Ladies tameva nuta vyante loka buradayastraya nishaya manuvritaya nirmukta shashi bhaskaram tameva nuta loka buradayastraya Ishaya manuvritayam nirmukta shashi bhaskaram tam that eva certainly anu after api diante are out of sight lokha the planets, bu-adaya, the three worlds, bu, bhuva, and swa, traya, three, nishayam, in the night, anuritayam, ordinary, nirmukta, without glare, Shasi, the moon. Bhaskaram, the sun. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the night of Brahma ensues, all the three worlds are out of sight, and the sun and the moon are without glare, just as in the due course of an ordinary night. Purport. It is understood that the glare of the sun and moon disappear from the sphere of the three worlds, but that the sun and the moon themselves do not vanish. They appear in the remaining portion of the universe, which is beyond the sphere of the three worlds. The portion in dissolution remains without sun rays or moon glow. It all remains dark and full of water, and there are indefatigable winds, as explained in the following verses. Text 30. The devastation takes place due to the fire emanating from the mouth of Sankarshan. And as great sages like Bhrigu and other inhabitants of Maharaloka transport themselves to Janaloka, being distressed by the warmth of the blazing fire which rages through the three worlds below. In the beginning of the devastation, all the seas overflow and hurricane winds blow very violently. As the waves of the sea become ferocious, in no time at all, the three worlds are full of water. Purport. It is said that the blazing fire from the mouth of Sankarshan rages for 100 years of the demigods, or 36,000 human years. Then for another 36,000 years, there are torrents of rain, accompanied by violent winds and waves, and the seas and oceans overflow. These reactions of 72,000 years are the beginning of the partial devastation of the three worlds. People forget all these devastations of the worlds and think themselves happy in the material progress of civilization. This is called Maya, or that which is not. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swayanta Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vajarane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Siddharana. Here we find some predictions about the future, not exactly the predictions that most people hope for, that soon there is going to be an increase in temperature, just like they have global warming. Well, most people don't understand how warm things are going to become. And sometimes they predict hurricanes, but these hurricanes are something very special. And if it rains for a few weeks, people get very distressed. In Vrindavan, it rained for a week, and the inhabitants of Vrindavan had to take shelter underneath Govardhan Hill. But here it explains that at one point in the universe, it rains for 36,000 years. So that's quite a flood. Imagine if there were torrential rains for a year, how much distress people would be. What about 10 years? What about 1,000 years? So how can we imagine continuous flooding for 36,000 years? It would be a little distressful. So this is what it predicts in the future. And it's happened in the past. As a matter of fact, bhutva bhutva parliyate. This is what happens in every creation. Now we can reject the Bhagavatam and say, well, this is just their opinion, or maybe it's not going to happen this time, or maybe this is all exaggeration. 36,000 years or 72,000 years is just too much to accept that anything like that could happen for such a long period of time. What about all the good people in the world? What happens to them? What about me? Should I take swimming lessons? What do I do to counteract this? Become a devotional fish? What's the remedy? Well, as the whole idea of this chapter, at least one of the ideas, is that we're supposed to become detached from the material existence. It's hard enough to get detached from our little plans that we have, what's going to happen next week, and all the nice things that are going to happen to me, all the plans I have. People work hard during the whole week and plan for the weekend, that this weekend is going to be special. And even if it is a special weekend, it seems to go quicker. The more special it is, the quicker it goes. And then they go back to work, suffering in their work, looking forward to the next weekend, which is probably why they're suffering, because they never pay attention to what they're doing. There's a relationship between interest and attention. If you have no interest in something, you won't pay any attention to it. And if you don't pay any attention to it, then you'll never develop an interest for it. Just like faith. We are interested in things that we have faith in. But we have faith in things that we pay attention to. But we only pay attention to things that we have an interest in. So presently, we're conditioned for certain types of interests. Unfortunately, in modern society, people are being bombarded their attention to become interested in all the lower things in life, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, as if that's the only thing in life to take an interest in. And they take interest in politics only if the person promises them that will help your eating, sleeping, mating, defending. In other words, in modern society, people generally only take interest in either economic development or in sense gratification. They never take interest in what the laws of nature are. As a matter of fact, they've concluded that anyone who explains about the laws of nature, they're fanatics or they're speculators. Or they're imagining these things. They've concluded that if there are laws of nature, they're all impersonal. There is no God who's governing them. God is not a very nice word to use in modern society. Only certain religious fanatics bring up God as part of the material energy. And if there is a God, his only purpose is to help us enjoy, is to help us eat better, sleep better, have more sex, and defend ourselves better. Otherwise, what is the value of God? God has no relevance to our lives unless he fulfills our desires. People have concluded like that, that if there are laws of nature, even God is not in control of them. He himself is subjected to the laws. So much speculation, people don't believe there's anything such as absolute truth. If you tell people that this is the absolute truth, they think you're a fanatic, automatically. Everything's relative. The highest physical science they have is quantum mechanics, where everything is completely relative. Not only anything's going on, we're existing in this universe, and in unlimited universes, we're doing unlimited other things that we're not even aware of. And if you don't understand that, don't worry, because no one understands it. But it's the truth, according to the scientists. Something that they can't understand or figure out, that no one can understand, that is their truth. Now, we don't take it as the absolute truth, they say, because tomorrow we'll find some other truth. There is no truth. The only truth is whatever we present to you today, that is the truth. And if we find out tomorrow that it's wrong, well, the new thing we find out, that is the truth. And if you want hankering for the absolute truth, for any permanent truth, then give it up. Because that the only truth there is that there is no absolute truth. That's the absolute truth. So people are so foolish, they don't realize they become fanatical doubters. Anything the scripture says must be wrong. And if there's something right in it, it's only by accident. Because everything happens by accident. So even in the scriptures, there may be some truth by accident. But to accept that the scriptures is absolute, that's a absolute no. Absolutely, we cannot accept that the absolute truth is in the scriptures. That's our only absolute. That there is no absolute truth, that's absolute. That's the absolute truth. So people have been brainwashed, and they think like that. They can't understand how they've been conditioned by more or less illogical mental speculation based upon the so-called reasoning of so-called intelligent people who actually are not very reasonable or intelligent. And the nice thing about our philosophy is that it immediately defeats their philosophy just by telling people that your body's changing, but you're not changing. Something that gives people direct experience of the truth. And if people can't understand the truth, the fact that they're not changing, then they're very unfortunate. If they're not even aware of themselves, the fact that they exist, then it's very unlikely they're going to be aware of anything else that's going on. If you can't even be aware of yourself, then how can you be aware of what the self is aware of? But those who are fortunate or somewhat pious, who can understand that their bodies are changing, but they're not changing, that much truth they can understand, then they can understand that there is such a thing as truth. Because if the only truth was change, then it wouldn't matter what the truth was, because it would change too, along with everything else. What they're ultimately doing is they're taking time as the truth, which is changing everything. That the only truth is that time will change everything. So time is the truth. And this is, here in this particular chapter, we're hearing about time. But it's not a very nice time. In modern society, people, they think, yes, I believe in reincarnation. Many people, New Age, they say, yes, I believe in reincarnation. But they only believe that after we leave this body, we go upward. It doesn't matter who you are. Once you get the human form of life, you only go upward. And even if you're a bad person, it's only part of your education, how to be a bad person, so that eventually, by such education, you'll become a good person. If you kill enough people, you get tired of it, and that, therefore you'll stop killing people after some time. So it's not bad to kill people, it's just that after a while we hope you'll get tired of it. And even after you leave your body, you're going to go upward like everyone else, so it doesn't really matter what you do. But this Bhagavatam, for them also, it's bad news. The future is there's going to be a lot of heat. There's going to be a lot of rain. And even if you learn how to swim, like there was one sage, his name was Markandeya Rishi, he wound up somehow or another in the ocean of devastation, and he was there for millions of years. It was a big devastation, not these partial devastations. And while he was swimming in the ocean, these fish came and tried to swallow him. Not a little fish, Timangal fish that swallow whales. Imagine you're in the ocean and suddenly you see this fish swallowing a whale. And then it's heading right for you. What are you going to think? Yes, you can try. But the whales are probably better swimmers than we are. They had a hard time. And in the ocean devastation, there were sharks looking to eat him. And it was cold, freezing cold water for millions of years. So how do you think he felt? He needed a break. So what to speak of ourselves? This material world is not presently. There's a few problems, but we think, well, it may be some difficulties here, but it's nothing compared to other places. Well, don't worry about it. Eventually, equality will reign for everyone when it starts raining and the sun increases, 12 times what it is now. You don't have to check the weather report. You'll know what it is tomorrow. Hot and hotter, blazing hot. When you see all the weather satellites on the ground melted, then you'll know it's hot. And that's the future. Now, if the Bhagavatam is wrong, still we have a few problems anyhow. Like we're going to die. This body's going to die. So it's not the only if there is no time in this world when everything gets so hot or there's so much rain, it's all right. No, we still have to leave our bodies. But even when we get another body, still it's not all right. Even when we get the body of Brahma, eventually we'll hear, it's still not all right. There's nothing all right in the material world. But we're hoping that maybe there's some corner I can find where I can get out of the rain and the heat and have my own personal television and have all my favorite shows programmed into the nice store of prasad, and I can don't worry about what's going on outside. Now, there's no escape in the material world. Imperceptibly, time is killing everyone. Time is going on, and there'll be a time when there'll be either partial or full destructions of the universe. And again, bhutva bhutva praliyate. Again, we'll become unmanifested in the body of Mahavishnu for 311,040,000,000,000 years. I mean, that's a good rest, isn't it? Can't complain after the next creation. Well, I'm a little tired. So, after 311,040,000,000,000 years, no one can complain they didn't get enough rest. And then we're back fighting the material creation. Everyone, Karshati, struggling to maintain some body. Maybe not this body. Maybe the body of a frog croaking and the snake is coming to eat him. And another failure. Struggling to maintain the body, getting up in the morning, trying to wake the body. Finally, we get it awake, trying to clean it, trying to feed it, trying to struggle along to learn something with it. And then at night, we get tired again and we're starting all over again the next day. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. Trying to get it up again, shake it up, clean it again, find out what's wrong with it, try and repair it. And as time goes on, it gets more and more difficult. It's not that the body, oh, now I'm 7 years old, I feel like I'm 15. No, as time goes on, it becomes more difficult to wake it up, to put it to sleep, to repair it. And then we get another body to struggle again. So if this sounds pessimistic, well, guess what? It is pessimistic. We are pessimists. But we're also optimists at the same time, because we know that this is an opportunity to get out of material consciousness, back to our normal consciousness. Back to our consciousness where we'll be always happy forever. We'll know exactly what to do for happiness. And that the reason why all this misery is going on is just to shake us up, to get us out of our delusion, which is the whole cause of our misery. We have to get shaken up because we're so attached to our delusions. Something has to shake us out of them. So the material world is trying to rattle us a little bit. Get out of your delusion that you're going to become a success here. Wake up. Jeev Jago. Jeev Jago! Wake up, sleeping soul. But unfortunately, most people are saying, why is he screaming, waking me up? Does he know I want to go to sleep? Tell him to shut up. So those who can hear are fortunate, and they may be able to understand that waking up means to wake up to a reality which is unlimitedly more wonderful than this reality. And no one complains. Krishna says, everyone, he knows 5,000 years ago, when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, at that time, no one who had gone back to the spiritual world ever returned. Now it's 5,000 years later, you may question, maybe someone returned in the meantime. But Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago, he didn't say, well, the Bhagavad Gita was correct, but there was one mistake. Bhakta so-and-so returned. No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed Bhagavad Gita was still valid philosophy. And Prabhupada came just recently and he didn't find any fault in Bhagavad Gita. So we can understand up until recently, anyone who's ever gone back to the spiritual world has never returned. They went there, they didn't take a look around, said, wait a second, this is not for me, I want to go back. No, everyone is completely happy there, beyond our conception of what happiness is. And no one ever wants to come back to this world, except for us. So we have to get out of that problem. That's our problem that we have. We want to come back here. We think things are going to get better. The scientists will solve all the problems. We're going to live here forever. There won't be any mosquitoes. They'll kill all the mosquitoes. They'll go zap and all the mosquitoes will just fall down. And at least that problem will be solved. They can't even solve that problem. There's more mosquitoes now. The weather is... Anyhow, we won't go over all the list of what's going wrong. But there's enough... I think we all have experience. But what is going right is that somehow or another we have this opportunity to become Krishna conscious, and we should take advantage of it. And part of that advantage is to understand that we have a mission. Our mission is to become instruments for Lord Chaitanya, for the previous acharyas, and to spread Krishna consciousness. And if we do that, that's our qualification for becoming Krishna conscious. We may hear about Krishna, we may chant about Krishna, but if we try to spread the movement to others by hearing and chanting, then our success will be that Krishna will help us become fully Krishna conscious. So we'll stop there. I'd like to thank you all for coming, listening to the class, laughing once in a while. The joke was funny enough. As they say in the airlines, we know you have a choice. I'd like to thank Mother Guru Bhakti for making all the engagements and for coming to them herself when she could, in spite of her busy schedule. And for the other devotees who are maintaining the temple here. I'm sure His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj would be happy. I'm sure he's happy to see his followers still working hard to maintain what he had started. And hopefully in the future, fill up the temple with more devotees. actually a new temple with more devotees. There'll be a new temple and more devotees, because that's our mission, is to help Krishna, bring Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom. So the process is simple. We don't have to make it more difficult. The only difficulty is that we make everything difficult. Even the process that's simple we make difficult. So if we take to the process, then we'll become more simple, and then we'll be able to make even difficult things more simple. Prabhupada once said that Maya means to make something very simple difficult. So we chant Hare Krishna happily. We follow the previous authorities. We take their instructions seriously. Utilize our time to the fullest we can. Not to think, well, I have plenty of time. I'm going to live here forever. Or I have 50 years is a long time to live. I got plenty of time to take it seriously. To actually try to make every moment as qualitatively as Krishna conscious as possible. Utilize our time, avyakta karala tvam. Try to see when we're not utilizing our time. Pray to Krishna to give us the intelligence, how to increase the use of our time so it's more and more Krishna conscious. Then, not only Krishna will become happy, Srimati Radharani will become happy, the deities will become happy, the previous acharyas will become happy, but we'll also become happy. But not for a little while, but for a lot longer than we can conceive. So I'd like to thank you again for your attention, those who had the interest of coming here, participating. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Karantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol. Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki jai.